Today's readings highlight for us an important theme, that there is a tension between two kingdoms. There is the kingdom of this world, a kingdom that is obvious for everyone to see. It's all around us. And although there'd be different ways in which we might characterize this kingdom, that it seems to have an influence in such a way that it leads people to being self-centered and self-serving. And this is contrasted with the kingdom of heaven, which is not obvious to everyone, that to most people, they don't even know of its existence. They don't even see that it is here. It is the kingdom of Jesus, and it's characterized by a way that is Christ-centered and wants to serve others. And in today's gospel and in that reading from 1 Corinthians, we have a call that is being placed on us. We are called to give our allegiance to the kingdom of heaven, to the kingdom that is that governed by and shaped by Jesus. When you think about that reading that we had from the gospel, we've heard it so many times before that we can sometimes miss the significance of the names that are mentioned. Think about those people that Jesus called to be the apostles, to be part of the group that would announce the kingdom of God. For instance, we had Matthew, a tax collector, and we need to appreciate for that the other apostles in that group, they would have at first been very suspicious of Matthew. After all, he was in the pay of Rome. He was as crooked as a switchback going up to the top of a mountain. He was a man who was very self-serving, and for the Jewish people, they were highly suspicious of those Jews who chose to be tax collectors. Then, in this group, there's Simon the Zealot, the exact opposite of Matthew. Rather than being in the pay of Rome, Simon the Zealot would have done everything to try to overthrow Rome, and people like Matthew would have been seen as traitors to Israel, and perhaps people like Simon would actually try to murder the likes of the Matthews of the world. Then, of course, there's James and John. Jesus gave them the nickname the sons of thunder. And so we can imagine there must have been some pretty heated arguments and times of shouting amongst that group of 13 as James and John got going with one another. And then, of course, there's Judas Iscariot, the traitor, the one who betrayed Jesus and helped to hand him over to death. One of the things that we see with Judas Iscariot was that for these 3 years, Jesus had been talking about these two kingdoms vying for our allegiance. And sadly, at the end of the day, Judas Iscariot rejected the kingdom of heaven and so bought into the kingdom of this world that he ended up committing suicide. And what's important about this evening's gospel is we're told that Jesus chose these 12 men and called them apostles. What does the word apostle mean? It is one who is sent. Sent where? Well, sent into the kingdoms of this world to announce the kingdom of heaven. And that's what the apostles were called to do. They were to represent Jesus. They were called to be used by Christ to help people come to the realization that the kingdom that truly matters is the one that is invisible. There was one apostle who referred to himself as being untimely born. Of course, I'm talking about St. Paul. And at the heart of St. Paul's life and mission was to be an apostle who founded churches so that those who came into the church would recognize that there is a new kingdom vying for their attention. This was very difficult work, especially in Corinth, because the Corinthian church, of all the churches that Paul founded, seemed to be so attached to the kingdom of this world that they had a very hard time seeing the kingdom that is the kingdom of heaven, that is the kingdom of God. Repeatedly in the readings that we've had from Corinthians over these last days, we have seen the difficulty Paul had in conveying to the Corinthian church, you're living like such worldly people that you're forgetting all about the kingdom that Jesus has established. For instance, in yesterday's reading, we heard about a man who was sleeping with his stepmother. And St. Paul says this is not the kind of thing that even the pagans would give their support to, but here it's happening in the Corinthian church. In the reading that Jan gave us this evening, what's happening is that we had some Christians who were more wealthy taking the poorer Christians to small claims court, and they were suing them. And Paul says, don't you realize that we, as those who are followers of Jesus, who are part of the kingdom of heaven, are actually going to be responsible for helping to judge the kingdom of this world? But they were going on with it anyhow. Then we heard one of what are referred to in the New Testament as a vice list. Things that we would, as Catholics, because the church teaches it as such, would be mortal sins. And here's the list. That there were those whose lives were characterized by fornication. There were idolaters, adulterers, male prostitutes, sodomites, thieves, the greedy, drunkards, revilers, robbers. And the point that Paul is making is that now you're Christians, but you're still living in mortal sin and going on as if it does not matter. What Paul wants his readers and what the church wants us to understand is that we always live with this tension between the kingdom of this world that is always vying for our allegiance and the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of heaven that calls for our allegiance. And part of the problem that happens in the church is that there are people who call themselves Christians, but they're living their lives as if the kingdom of heaven does not matter. It does not inform their lives. And so, as we think about this reading from Corinthians, it brings to our focus the fact that in our own lives, there are ways we too struggle with various vices that seem to have a hold on us. And as the church so clearly teaches, mortal sin can separate us from God eternally. And what St. Paul is saying here is if people continue in mortal sin without acknowledging it, they are cut off from the kingdom of heaven. They are cut off from eternity. But here's the good news of the gospel. The gospel proclaimed this evening, proclaimed in our collect where the church prays today, that God shows his power primarily through displaying mercy. That God understands our struggles, he understands our weaknesses, he understands how mortal sin can affect our lives too. And here is what we're all called to. Through honesty about sin, by taking seriously confession, by desiring to grow in virtue and to say no to vice day by day, then we become more attached to the kingdom of heaven. And we become less attached to the kingdom of earth. At the very end of our passage, St. Paul clearly states the difference between the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of heaven when he says, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." What Paul is saying is that once you were prisoners, Corinthians, to sin, but now you have been renewed, you have been redeemed by the washing of baptism. And the point of all of this is that God's grace is so great that he can rescue the worst of sinners from their deadly habits and wash them, sanctify them, and justify them. These are the three effects of baptism. Through which we are cleansed of guilt, that's the washing. We are made holy, that is the sanctifying. And that we are adopted as heirs to eternal life. That's what it means to be justified. So Jesus is always doing this. He's always calling together men and women who are like Matthew, who are like Simon the Zealot, who are like James and John, and yes, indeed, are like Judas Iscariot. And he would have us see that in this life and in this world, we are called to pledge our allegiance to his kingdom, to his way. as we follow the Messiah.